Well, hello everybody and welcome to episode 114 of the JB Sism Show. Today, my friends, we're talking about how to establish good criterion for effective and efficient writing. My friends, this is part three of a series I started a couple weeks ago, How to Write a Book the Right Way.
Do you have a message to share and wonder, how do I get heard? Broadcasting from the beautiful lakes of Minnesota and the Twin Cities, welcome to the JB Sism Show. This show will motivate you with clarity and help you find your voice so you can take your message to the next level. Now here's your host, Jason Sism.
And taking everything to the next level is what I love to do each and every week here at jbsism.com. Well, my friends, welcome to today's show. And if this is the first time you are here, I say a very warm welcome. And the show is designed and dedicated to helping you find your voice so you can succeed in your family, your ministry, and your life. That's right, my friends. I want to give you the tools that you need so you can transform lives and reach the world with the message that God has given you. Well, did you know writing requires focus? It does. Well, and not just these short bursts of focus, but I'm talking long months of on-end, drawn-out focus that's going to get you from point A to point B in your writing. Well, this, I believe, is why so many people never finish their books. They don't put into practice the right criteria and the right mindset for writing their book. So, in today's episode, we're talking about our content, how to be clear on our message, how to stay focused, how to be relevant, and how to get that first draft written. All right, my friends, this is the JB Sism Show. I'm excited. We begin right now. Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. I'm sitting behind the microphone at 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. And the last 2 weeks, you've gotten these on Thursdays. So that's okay. That's cool. We'll see if you get it today on Wednesday. I don't know why I keep saying this. Anyway, well, welcome to today's show. And I've enjoyed talking about this topic of how to write our book the right way. Because there is so much advice out there on how to write a book. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of really, really good advice out there. I've recently come back across Stephen King's On Writing. If you've not read that book, I encourage you to read Stephen King's book On Writing. It's a memoir on kind of how he got started, his kind of process of writing. I was watching a video interview of him recently, and he goes, yeah, I don't really have much of a process. I just kind of let the story take me where it wills. Now, he says he doesn't really plot out his story, but we all know he does, and he may not know how the story is going to end, but we also know that he has an idea of what he wants to have happen in the book. And I think whatever way you choose to write is going to be the way that is right for you. And the way I'm teaching you to write is how I choose to write. So I don't want you to think that I'm the end-all be-all of writing. But I want to give you my tips, my strategies, my reasoning for writing the way I do. That way, when you go to sit down in front of a blank piece of paper, like on those yellow legal pads, or you sit in front of a blank screen on your computer using Scrivener or Microsoft Word or whatever book writing software you choose to use, you're not going to be holed up in the land of no words. And you see these movies where the guy gets stuck on the first sentence, rips out the page, crumples it up, throws it away, writes again the first sentence, rips it out, crumples it up, throws it away. And Stephen King says, just write the dang thing. Just start writing. And even if you don't know how you're going to end the story, that's okay. Just start writing. James Patterson says the same thing. Don't let the blank screen hold you up. Keep your focus and just start writing. Just throw it out there. It's that spaghetti on the wall analogy. I don't know if you know this analogy. You take some spaghetti, you throw it up onto the wall, and you see what sticks. Not everything you're going to write is going to stick, and not everything you write is going to be edible and good. But what does stick, that's what you want to write. That's what you want to focus on. And this is why I'm doing this series. And I said I was going to do a three-part series. I think I may extend this to one more part, take it to episode 115. I may do a four-part series on this because I believe in the message so much, and I don't think I'm going to get through all of the material I want to talk about in today's episode. So we're still going to have 5 points today, so this is going to bring our points up to 15. I said I was going to do 15 points and 15 different ideas of how to get your book written the right way, and that's what this three-week series has been about. I'm probably going to be adding a week four next week, so stay tuned. You're going to have fun. Well, we are talking about developing and establishing good criterion for efficient and effective writing. And these 5 criteria I'm going to be giving you are going to help you develop structure and give you the basic direction that's going to help you write your book efficiently and effectively. Because, face it, writing is tough work, and we all know it's tough, and it all takes focus, it all takes dedication, heart, soul, blood, sweat, tears. You're going to pour over your words, you're going to pour over your book, and it's going to tug at your heartstrings, it's going to pull at the emotions of you, and that's okay. You want a book to pull at your emotions. You want a book to tug at your heartstrings. And, you know, even if you're writing a comedy, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Even if you're writing a comedy, if you get to a serious part of the story, you don't want to be throwing out jokes and laughing about it all the time. You want to kind of pull back the joking and really get serious and really think about, you know, the words you're trying to communicate, because I think if you put a little bit of heart into your humor, it's going to go a lot further. And you find that on a lot of sitcoms or comedy shows, when you have a serious moment, you know, it's the jokes kind of stop flying. You know, I remember watching an episode of Family Ties. You remember that? Where you had the Keaton family and Alex, who was played by Michael J. Fox. Well, he had one of his best friends die in a previous episode. And they ended the episode pretty somber. The next episode began with, you know, them coming back from the funeral. And Alex was like, I'm fine. And, you know, there was a few jokes kind of thrown around, but he was really struggling, and it was a little bit more of a serious episode. Even though there were jokes in there, I remember that episode because they did such a good job of pulling the heart of the story into it, letting the jokes be subtle, but really keeping the heart of the story and playing with your emotions. And so no matter what you're writing, you want to stay focused, and you want to be relevant, and you want to get this first draft written. Because if you don't get the first draft written, you're not going to be able to go back and do the editing. So here's the first of the 5 points here. Number one, you have to get clear on your message. And I think this is one of the things that a lot of people struggle with. You have to become clear. You have to be concise. You have to know your content. You know, if you're just writing a book to write a book, I would encourage you to stop. But if you're writing a book to change lives, and you're writing a book to actually push out a beautifully written story that's going to tug at people's heartstrings and leave them better off in the end, you know, that's what I want you to focus on. You know, so focus on good quality, clear, concise content. You know, really, there's nothing new under the sun. And think about this. Every book that's probably ever going to be written has already been written. But the question is, what is your take on the topic? What is your voice? What is your story? Last night I was at our Minnesota Christian Writers Guild, and our speaker, I just lost her name. Hold on a second. Okay, and I'm back. I had to look up our speaker's name, Gay Lindfors. I couldn't remember her last name. I remembered her first name. Anyway, but one of the things that she was saying last night? Oh my gosh, no, it was Monday night. Anyway, one of the things she was saying is, what is your story? What is the story that God has put inside of you that you just have to get out? You know, so if you want to be clear on your message, you got to know your story. You got to know your content, and you got to find a fresh way, a new way to say what you're trying to say, or say how you see the world. And this is why you got to be concise as well. You know, don't take 15 pages to say what can be said in 3 or 4 pages. You know, get your story out there, even if it's in the most simple form. Get your story written. Get it on paper. Don't just stare at the blank page. Don't just hold the pencil in your hand and wonder, what am I going to write next? So get clear on your message, because if you are clear, let me say it this way. If you are not clear on your message, you're going to fart around on the page and people are not going to stick around to read what you have written. Be clear. If it isn't clear, it isn't clear. They're not going to read it. So think about this. My friend Ken Roberts said this. He goes, I try to write in a way that's meaningful and thoughtful, yet no matter what reading level a person who's reading my book is at, I have to make sure my writing is clear and understandable to the reader. So you can have good content, you can have powerful content, you can have content that's going to change the course of somebody's life, but if it isn't clear and you're not getting your message out there, it's not going to be relatable. So you can have deep content, you can have very thought-provoking content, but you still have to learn the art of communication and you still have to get your words out there. So, yeah, you know, it's going to take work. It's going to take focus. That's why I really wanted to talk about focus today, because you need long, months on end, drawn out focus to get from point A to point B. You have to stay focused. And that's really where I'm coming in here for number two. You have to stay focused. So number one is be clear on your message. Number two, stay focused. Get the book written. Get the book written. I can't tell you how many books I've lost focus on and they sit incomplete in my archives. I don't even have a completed outline. And I've written thousands of words. Thousands. We're talking, I probably have 200,000-300,000 words of unfinished novels, probably in about 2 or 3 different novels, maybe 4, and they're just sitting there unfinished. Some of them could be short novellas that I could finish, polish up, and get out there, but I lost focus. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know where I was going. I lost my focus. And that's the one thing you don't want to have happen to you, is lost focus. So this is why, as a writer, you need to sit down and write. Don't think about what you've already written. Don't think about 10 chapters away. Think about the very next sentence. Think about the very next paragraph. Think about the very next scene. Focus on one thing and one thing only. Because if you try to focus on everything at once, you're going to become overwhelmed. So you have to focus on that very next sentence. Just write it out. Just get it onto the paper and move on to the next sentence. Get that next sentence on the paper. Move on to the next sentence. Get that next sentence on the paper. don't, as our British friends would say, Mark Dawson, I don't know if you've ever listened to Mark Dawson with Self-Publishing Formula, fantastic podcast, by the way. I'll put the link in the show notes. One of the things he says is don't waffle around. You know, don't fart around. Just stay focused. Get the first draft written. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But one of the things that I encourage you to do, if you have trouble staying focused with writing, write in short 15-minute bursts and then take a break. Write in short 15 to 20-minute bursts and then take a break. One of the best ways to do that is use what's called the Pomodoro technique, where you set an egg timer, set it for 20 minutes, and you just write. You don't do anything else. You don't think about your email. In fact, turn your email off, turn your phone off, and just sit down and write. Think about your next sentence and get it written. Once the timer goes off, you can take a break. You can get a drink of coffee. You can do whatever you want to do. But just think about your next sentence. Think about your next paragraph. And let the timer do its job. Sometimes that ticking can be a nice motivator. Because now you're racing against the clock to see how much you can actually get written in 20 minutes. And sometimes you may only have 20 minutes a day to do any writing. And this is why, listening to John Grisham, he says if you write just 200 to 250 words a day, you're going to have a novel just long enough in anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years. Just 200 to 250 words a day. That's it. So even if you have 20 minutes to write and you only get 200 words written, hey, you're further today than you were yesterday. And then tomorrow, find another 20 minutes. And then the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Stay focused. Get your content written. Be creative. And just focus. Use the Pomodoro technique. I guarantee you, you're going to get more written than you ever thought possible. Okay, number three. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness. Hold on. Oh, my goodness. I'm back. I had a frog in my throat, and I couldn't talk for a second. Holy cow. And I am not editing today's episode at all. I am just speaking from my heart, just kind of letting the words flow out of my heart and mind. And so I'm not editing today's episode, so you're going to have to just bear with that. I try to cut some of that stuff out, but hopefully I'll get that cough cut out. But if I don't, you'll know why. All right, number three, that's where I was at. So get clear on your message. Number two, stay focused. Use the Pomodoro technique. Number three, be relevant. Be relevant. See, when a reader picks up our book, they want to know, how is this going to affect my life? Especially if you're writing nonfiction. If you're writing nonfiction, people want to know, how is this going to change my life? How am I going to radically see life differently? And, you know, you don't want to just write for writing's sake. You want to write to find out how you can be relevant and applicable to the reader. So you got to ask yourself the question, am I being applicable? Can they apply what I'm telling them to their lives? And especially if you're writing a memoir, that's a great question to ask yourself. Am I being relevant? Am I being applicable to the reader? Because if you've had a life tragedy, or if you've had some unexpected turns in your life, you're using your book to help readers who've gone through similar things take your message and apply it to their life. So make sure your writing is relevant. Make sure your writing is applicable. Make sure that you're writing for people. You're not writing just for the sake of writing. You know, obviously write for yourself, but write the book that you would want to read. Write the book that you would want to read to change your life. You know, so even if you're writing fiction, you want to go into each story that you write with some kind of message, one kind of grain of nugget you want the reader to pull out and walk away with. And this is really the big difference between secular fiction and Christian fiction. A lot of Christian focuses on this one little nugget you want to pull out and run with and apply to your life. One of my favorite authors, a guy by the name of Frank Peretti. Frank Peretti is he's the Stephen King of the Christian horror. That just sounds so wrong, doesn't it? Christian horror books. Oh my gosh. But he's written some really fantastic books, and one of his books that I absolutely love, I read this book more than any other book of his, and that was The Oath. And the story was there were strange deaths that were happening in this town. And, well, this journalist, his brother was killed in the woods. And it was ruled a violent bear attack. Well, it turns out that it was really a giant dragon that ate his brother, you know, chomped him, you know, to pieces. And but there was something else that was going on, something sinister going on in the town, and people would randomly be eaten by this dragon. But not everybody would be eaten by the dragon. And the whole premise of the story is, where's your heart at? And if you don't have Christ in your life, you have a stained heart and the dragon's going to eat you. So it's a fantastic premise. It's a fantastic kind of truth nugget that he weaved into this story. And he wrote a nearly 1,000-word novel based on that little nugget. He has another book called This Present Darkness. It's a glimpse into the spiritual world where angels and demons are fighting. And if you've seen like Legion or some of these other movies, you know, it's about angels and demons fighting each other. But the whole premise of the book is on prayer, the power of prayer, the power of a praying person and what prayer can do. And so, this is the direction that you want to go. You want to pull these little nuggets out so that people can apply it to their lives. And so that's why I say you want to find something applicable, something relevant. When I wrote my book, Divine Providence, which is a novella, about a 25,000-word novella, I put this little nugget of truth in there. How do I trust God when everything in my life is falling to pieces? My life is in shambles. In the story, this lady finds out her husband had cheated on her, and her son had a life-threatening accident, and now he needs a heart transplant because of a previous heart condition. And if he doesn't get this heart, he's going to be dead before Christmas. Okay, so we're talking, you know, it's these massive, you know, what if this happened? How would you trust God? And so that was the relevant question that I went into writing my book. And so think about a relevant question. Think about an applicable situation that you can ascribe to your novel, put into your nonfiction book, and think about it from that perspective. And this brings me really to point number 4, is be creative. Be creative. You know, everything that's, like I was saying, everything that's been written has already been written. So be creative. Add some spice. Add some color to your book. You know, don't be too flowery. Don't get too creative. Don't be, you know, writing something that's going to be way overdone and you're going to end up losing your reader. As my friend, again, Ken Roberts says, you're going to lose the reader to the cuteness and the cleverness of your writing. So don't try to write the next great American novel. Don't try to be Harper Lee. Don't try to be, Lee Montgomery. You know, don't try to be some of these people who wrote literature. You know, but be creative. Add some spice. Add some color to it. If you're writing a nonfiction book, draw the reader in with some creative writing. Add a little story here. Tell a little joke here. Use a simile or a metaphor. But you have to be concise. You have to be clear. You have to be creative. You have to just sit down and think, what am I doing that's going to take the reader from where they are, suck them into the story, and hold them there? This is why, like in fiction, especially like a James Patterson novel or a Stephen King novel or a John Grisham novel, you want something that's going to suck the reader in. So, you know, take the first chapter and suck them in, you know, get them interested. And then kind of leave them at a cliffhanger at the end of every chapter. You know, let something happen in every chapter that's going to propel the story forward. And that's the thing. You don't want to stop your story for the sake of story. And what I mean by that is you don't want to stop your story and find out you're just waxing eloquently on the page for pages and pages and pages. You don't have to tell me the entire science behind why a rose bush looks the way it does. You could just say, and John walked by the rose bush. He noticed its bright pink color and could smell the aroma wafting off of each petal. John approached the door and knocked three times. You know, but you don't have to say, and the house was blue and the landscaping looked like this, and it curved around the house, and there's about 14 different varieties of flowers. Here's all the variety of flowers. You know, don't get cute. Don't get too creative, because you're going to lose the reader in the details. So just kind of state where you're at, add a little color, and then keep moving forward. You know, you don't want to be too intense, too clever, too cute. You know, but you want to draw the reader in with your creative writing. You want to draw them in so they can focus on what they need to focus on and get through the chapter and be done with it. So be creative, but don't be cute. Don't wax eloquent, all right? And then finally, get the first draft written. How to get it written? You just write. You write, you write, you write. You let the words flow. You let ideas flow. You start with sentence one. You move to sentence two. You move to sentence three. You start that next paragraph. You add a little dialogue here. You add a little story there. You know, don't be concerned. And don't really think too hard about each word that you're writing. Just get the book written. And here's the other thing. Don't go back and rewrite. So if you have yesterday written chapter two, go back and read chapter two by all means, so you know where you're going when you pick up. But don't go back and fix anything. And as a writer, I'm going to tell you that it's really, really hard. But don't go back and fix anything, because if you try to fix too many things, you're going to waste your time. So what I encourage people to do is get the book written. Take your story and just move it forward by one sentence. Take your book and move it forward by one chapter. And if you write just even 2 hours a day, you're going to have a much better time getting your book completed, getting your book written. You know, even if all you have is just 20 minutes a day, you come home from work, you eat some dinner, and before bed, you're like, I'm going to squeeze in 20 minutes of writing, and you get 200 words written, you're going to have a book in about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. You know, so take the time, get your book written, you know, get clear on your message, you know, don't waffle around. Be relevant, stay focused, be creative, add a little sparkle into your story. But here's the thing, get the ideas out, get your book written, and don't stop writing. That's the name of the game, and that's how you write your book. the right way. And I'm going to pick this up with part four next week. All right, my friends, you can find the full show notes at jbsism.com/114. jbsism.com/114. And while you're at it, tell somebody about the show because I want to help spread the message and help more people find their voice so they can succeed in life. All right, my friends, God bless. I'll see you right here at jbsism.com. I'm Jason Sism. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for listening. This has been the J.B. Sism Show. You can find the archives of the show at jbsism.com or on iTunes. Don't forget to visit jbsism.com to download a special ebook when you sign up for the free newsletter. You'll get new episodes, updates, and so much more. This podcast is copyright Jason Sism and Sism Enterprise, all rights reserved. Until next week, stay motivated with clarity, take your message to the next level, and find success in your family, ministry, and life.